The order of service is on page 7 in your green book. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou wouldst
be all of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and truly repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you who heartily repent of your sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and sincerely and earnestly purpose by the assistance of God the Holy Ghost henceforth to amend your sinful lives. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The introit in your white bulletin. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength.
O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength.
We beseech thee, Almighty God, mercifully to look upon thy people, that by thy great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Old Testament reading for Judica is from the first chapter of Genesis, or the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Here ends the reading. The epistle is from the 12th chapter of Hebrews. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with blood, not with the blood of goats or calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleansing your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Here ends the epistle.
Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. Teach me to do thy will. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom you make yourself out to be." Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here ends the gospel.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
different text from St. John chapter 8, verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. This is our text. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who through thy Son, true God and our Redeemer, did say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death, we beseech thee, bestow upon us thy Holy Spirit, that we may give due honor to thy Son, keep his word, trust in it, comfort ourselves therewith in the hour of departure, and through death enter into everlasting life. For the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who livest and reignest with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Since the beginning of Lent, there has been a confrontation between Jesus and the religious authorities, and it has been gradually increasing. But it is with this Sunday and the Holy Gospel that we see that the clash has reached a climax by their unqualified rejection of Jesus. It is now complete. In fact, the rejection is mutual, for Jesus has also rejected their lies. This clash has been increasing because Jesus has been continuing to teach the word of truth, and his teaching has been exposing their wicked agenda, a wicked agenda which they love. These authorities are not committing sins of weakness simply because, oh, well, maybe they lost their temper or something like that. No, they are rejecting Jesus for the very reason that he speaks the truth. They love the lie. So in the verse just before today's Holy Gospel, Jesus says, quite plainly, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. They reject the truth. That is why. So what is this truth? Four things. Truth, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They reject that. Two, he told them, despite being of Jewish descent, that they were not children of Abraham. They reject that. He told them they do not have God as their father, or they would love him. They reject that. And four, finally, Jesus told them that they are really children of the devil. The devil is a murderer and a liar. And so far, Jesus has exposed their murderous plot against him. Jesus has revealed their lies concerning the right preaching of the word of truth. So yes, they are obedient children of the devil, doing the very things that their father does, lying and murdering. They are really the devil's slaves. Now, it is beyond our understanding to be able to get into the minds of these unbelieving religious authorities. It is beyond our understanding that we would know, why do they call evil good and good evil? Why do they consider Jesus to be demon-possessed? Or why do they seek to stone Jesus, who is the Holy Son of God, and accuse him of blasphemy? I don't think anyone can understand why someone could be so misled, and especially those who are of their religious authorities and who have the word. Similarly, we don't understand how an angel of light, Lucifer, that's his name, angel of light, how he could leave his rightful place in heaven and become the father of lies. Nevertheless, it truly happened, for the scriptures tell us that it did. Jesus tells us that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, and because there is no truth in him, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But that's the truth. It's the truth about the devil. And so, let's just stand by it. The reason these religious authorities reject Jesus and his teaching, a teaching which we know gives eternal life, is because he speaks the truth. They believe lies, and they reject the truth. That is why there is this confrontation and clash. But to move on, it is often difficult for us to determine the proper hue of a color. If you're trying to match the color of a piece of clothing, or you're picking the color of a carpet, you had better have a swatch in hand if you're going to try to get a match. It is easier to see things as they really are when you set them up side by side. And so Jesus does this very thing when he sets up his truth against their lies. He says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." So without the word of truth, there is only death. Those who have the word of truth, eternal life. Life set up right against, side by side with death. At times it's hard to tell the difference between the truth and that which is a lie. Knowing that I enjoy making intricate sandcastles on the beach, someone recently sent me a picture. It was a picture of Jesus' crucifixion. Wow. Beautifully constructed in sand by a young girl who's in the picture. It was just a few feet from the water's edge. The sun was setting over the ocean as it went down. I knew immediately it was a fake. There are things which I noticed. There was the lack of footprints. There was the absolute consistent surface of every sand surface. And the text said, "I did this with my own hands." One person could not have done that. That picture was generated by a computer program, or what we commonly call now AI, artificial intelligence. It is a lie, or it is the truth. It's difficult to tell. Today's sermon is designed with one purpose in mind, to know this distinction so that you will keep Jesus' word of truth and never taste death. There are many who seek to lie and murder. They reject the truth and they don't want the truth. Now, at first, it may be that they are misled and fooled, but by the time that they are as hardened as the Pharisees, and they know it is the truth, but then they are addicted to lies and falsehood. So, as they did with Jesus, at that point they will call his teaching blasphemy, and there's the right one. For us, who have to deal with even religious authorities speaking falsehood, and what is true and a lie, and can you tell the difference? Some people will side with the refuge of the majority. If there are many people that say the same thing, then they will conclude that they all can't be wrong. The institutional mindset loves the establishment. However, that method will not provide the truth. I'm sure you've heard your mother say, "If everyone jumped off a cliff, would you do it?" Yeah, the majority. Others, in trying to figure these things out, will seek old traditions to find the truth. If something is old or it is different, they will assume that it is better. The problem is that the devil has been working since the beginning of time. And there are some very old traditions, very old heresies, and false practices. Still others will seek to use their own reason as the ultimate judge of truth and falsehood. They will use their limited reasoning ability in order to try to explain God, who is unlimited by time and space. So their mind, their reason, will develop this kind of scientific system, and then they will use that to judge spiritual things. But those things are not of this world. And those systems may be fine in dealing with earthly things, which, you know, have some realm of knowledge, but they will fail in regards to the things that are of God and heavenly things. And so their knowledge is limited to this world, and it is a world which is passing away. You cannot judge God. Finally, there will be those who will seek to find truth by trusting in a religious authority figure in order to determine the truth. That person or the person who is in the office is considered to be the receptacle of truth and cannot err. But already we saw in today's text the religious authorities and their pronouncements can be right or they can be wrong. Today's epistle speaks of the cleansing of the conscience. There is a twofold source of evil. It is the devil and our own sinful nature. The devil is the father of lies, but our own sinful nature is drawn to those lies. Whether those lies are enshrined by the authority of an expert or they are the teaching of a human institution, we can be misled. And not only can you be misled, but the majority of people can be misled as well. Therefore, Jesus warns us in Matthew 7, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. There is only one source for truth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Though the gate is narrow, our Jesus is proclaiming to us that he wants us to find the gate. In response to the Pharisees, he says, you bear witness of yourself. The Pharisees said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. But without hesitation, Jesus exclaims to them, I know where I came from. And concerning that, he says, you judge concerning your flesh, your sinful flesh. You use that as, I came from God. This is the witness of him. The man Jesus Christ is also the Son of God. He came from the Father and is of himself God. Jesus is the source of that which is right and true. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. The words which Jesus speaks are by definition the words of God. Whatever things which Jesus declares, we find that are in perfect agreement with the word of God, which all of them received from God through the Old Testament prophets. And so when Jesus challenges these enemies of him, he challenges them to convict him of sin. They're unable to produce even one transgression or one act of wickedness. Therefore, they ought to believe this truth-telling Jesus, even as he is the only authority from which the truth flows. And so we see that this authority, the one who says, I know from whom I came from, this authoritative Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come. That is, Jesus comes to give us good things. He came to bless us with forgiveness of sins for past transgressions. He came to give us abundant life. He came to free us from death. Our Jesus came to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. In today's postmodern world, it has become popular to speak of the narrative. In other words, there's no real objective truth. There's only each person's narrative, their story. Each person tells the story in a way that makes them look good. Or the narrative is designed to support one's own network's own slant. Or as the internet has infinitely multiplied the number of sources by which you can get information, we don't know which, if any, has the true story. Now, AI, facts, or rather narratives, are simply used to manipulate, and apps and programs are designed to take away your personal data, even while you browse or while you talk in your own home. There are scams and there are schemes to try to separate you from your money. And now we can't even tell with what we look at. Is that a real picture or video? We don't know. But the truth does not manipulate. The truth does not seek to take from you. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth which Jesus brings gives redemption from transgressions. His truth offers forgiveness of sins. His truth brings the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus, the truth, came to give us to himself. He came to shed his blood that he might offer himself to God without spot. His truth is not slanted. His truth cannot be manipulated. His truth does not seek to take from you, but to give. And that is why they must silence it. In John 8, verse 40, Jesus said, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God." My Christian friends, faith receives the truth. The truth is found in the Word. And John 8:47 says, "He who is of God hears God's words." Jesus speaks the truth. And John 8:51 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Our high priest did the Father's will. And he said, "I know him, and I keep his word." So for the church, the Nicene Creed, it's not the church's narrative. It is the truth. The truth from God himself. The forgiveness of sins. It's not a theory about atonement. It's the sacrificial life of Jesus Christ, true God and true man. The blood of Christ, it's the foundation of Christ's church, which was instituted here on earth and will continue forever. The gates of hell cannot defeat the church of Christ and the believers who live in her. The word of God, it does not say both yes and no, so it only serves as kind of a pretext for whatever your opinion is about God. Absolutely not. The word of Christ's teaching is the foundation of Christ's church. You can and do know the truth. It's the truth which sets you free from death. They say they sought, at the end of this text, they sought to lay hands on Jesus. But we saw him going through the midst of them. He passed right by. Similarly, if you hold to the word of God and his Son, our mediator, they cannot manipulate you. You will pass through. You will cast aside their lives, all their lies, and you will pass through the shadow of death to that promised eternal inheritance. You have the truth, and the truth has set you free. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Page 18, Create in Me. We stand for prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Thee for all Thy goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of Thy dear Son, and for the revelation of Thy will and grace, and we beseech Thee so to implant Thy word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it, and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. Most heartily, we beseech Thee, so to rule and govern Thy Church universal, with all its pastors and ministers, that it may be preserved in the pure doctrine of Thy saving word, whereby faith toward Thee may be strengthened and charity increased in us toward all mankind. Grant also health and prosperity to all in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after Thy good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please Thee also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are in suffering for Thy name and for Thy truth's sake, comfort, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of Thy fatherly will. And although we have deserved Thy righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat Thee, O most merciful Father, remember not the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions, but out of Thine unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of Thy mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show Thyself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause also the needful fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with Thy blessings. We ask Your blessing upon our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, as well as upon Pastor Fillmore Alvarez and his congregation, St. Mary's in the Philippines. Be with the armed forces, especially Jason and Blake, with our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex, our shut-ins, Carolyn and Patty, our elderly, Violet and Tom. Also bless Susan and her unborn child. Be with Tom and Kara, Jonathan, Sarah, Sadie, Alexis, and Jessica in their studies. Provide for the various needs of Larry and Deb, Christina, Jim and Charlotte, Rusty, Philip, and Mervon. These and whatsoever other things Thou wouldst have us ask of Thee, O God, vouchsafe unto us for the sake of the bitter suffering and death of Jesus Christ, Thine only Son, our Lord and Savior, who livest and reignest with Thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Dearly beloved, for as much as we purpose to come to the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, it becometh us diligently to examine ourselves, as St. Paul exhorteth us, for this holy sacrament hath been instituted for the special comfort and strengthening of those who humbly confess their sins and who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But if we thus examine ourselves, we shall find nothing in us but only sin and death, from which we can in no wise set ourselves free. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ hath had mercy upon us and hath taken upon himself our nature, that so he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and for us and for our deliverance suffer death, and all that we by our sins have deserved. And to the end, that we should more confidently believe this and be strengthened by our faith and a cheerful obedience to his holy will, he hath instituted the holy sacrament of his supper, in which he feedeth us with his body and giveth us to drink of his blood. Therefore, whoso eateth of this bread and drinketh of this cup, firmly believing the words of Christ, dwelleth in Christ, and Christ in him, and hath eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, and rendering unto him most hearty thanks for the same, take up our cross and follow him. And according to his commandment, love one another, even as he hath loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink of this one cup. Page 144. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread,
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
shall strengthen and preserve the body and soul.
Thank you.
152, the Nook Midas, stopping short of the glory beam. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.